Seek Sustainable Japan. I'm JJ Walsh, your host here in Hiroshima, joined by the amazing Christina Minami. Thanks so much for joining, Christina.
Hi. Hi, JJ. Thank you so much for, you know, having me again. It's really nice to see you after our first live.
Right? Like, how long has it been? I was trying to remember. It's a couple years now,
right? A couple years now, yes. Last time I was mostly working as a freelance creator, so, but since then, like, a lot has changed.
Yeah, and we were originally introduced because we were on the project introducing more rural things, wonderful, sustainable travel around Tokyo, right?
Right, yes. It was really great to talk, you know, with you about this hidden parts of Tokyo. it's a really great life.
Yeah, that was so fun. And of course, you have a wonderful Instagram page. Many people know you as Suga Lennon. You have more than 340,000 followers. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Your passion has always been showing rural Japan, showing lesser known Japan, that there's so much magic and charm that many people don't know. Is that right?
Right. So through my work, I try to introduce places beyond the typical tourist routes. And I just try to connect like international audience with like deeper local stories and local people behind traditional crafts and beautiful places all around Japan.
Now, you talk about you first came to Japan doing language school in Osaka in 2016.
Right.
So you've been in Japan 10 years, right? Still in Osaka?
Yeah, I actually came back last October. So I used to live in Tokyo for 8 years, but now I'm back to Osaka. It's just like easier for me to travel around Japan. And right now, I also found my own company, and it's actually in Ehime Prefecture, so it's like easy for me to travel there.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that. That sounds really exciting. Tell us, before we launch into that, tell us what's behind you, because I've seen some of your reels and you often focus on introducing people to artisan culture, local craftspeople, and you've got some right behind you, right?
Yes. So I just found my own company. It's called like Inner Japan in last year. I would say July, actually. So almost 1 year ago. So it's not just me. It's also Sachi. We used to work together at my previous job when I worked at Matcha. It's an inbound company that does PR projects for local governments and stuff. So now I'm not only creating content, but I also working with regions, tourism boards, hotels, and local communities on bigger scale and bigger projects. So it's not just me this time.
Yeah, no, you've got a good team.
Right. Yeah.
And you and Sachi, she's based in Ehime, you're in Osaka. So you're developing a lot of the tours, right? And then you have local guides as well. But before we launch into that, just tell us behind you, Christina.
Oh, right. Sorry about that.
No. Tell us about the stuff behind you.
Right. So if you see here on the upper side of the screen, that is a hand towel. And this is part of one of the projects Inner Japan is doing right now in Osaka, in a place called Kashiwara. I'm actually based in Kashiwara. So it's only 30 minutes away from Namba Station on train. So the access is really easy, but not that many people actually knows about the place. And so Kashiwara was really famous for like textile production and textile printing technique. So this is called Nassen, or like Japanese traditional textile printing technique. So I work with a local factory and Okada-san. Their family has been, you know, in the area for more than 100 years. And I do local tours with Okada-san a few times every month. So yeah, this is my newest project, I would say. So I'm really proud of that. It's a kokeshi, like, you know, traditional Japanese dolls. And Okada-san is not just an artisan, he is also a designer. So he designed this print by himself.
That's beautiful. Kokeshi is something we introduce when we take people around Miyajima, because it was when people were only allowed to travel to do pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. It was really the only souvenir. And so a lot of traditional places still have the kokeshi. So it's a, such a cute design. I love it.
Right. Thank you.
What else do we have behind you? Can you introduce the others?
Oh, I have. Okay. So this is my new favorite radio. It's a national. It's from the 60s. So I really love it because I love, you know, retro Japanese music. So I bought it just for myself and for the future residents. I hope we can, you know, talk about that. I have a work of Hori-san. Hori-san is a painter from Nara Prefecture. I also have Yeka Hasuki. She's an artist from Tokyo. What else I have? This is, I painted it in Awajishima. It's made of Awaji soil. And this is something like I try to remind myself. It's from the local newspaper from Ahime when we won a grant this year. So it's kind of like a reminding of, you know, myself that I, you know, if you work towards a goal, you know, you can achieve that. So it's kind of, you know, cheer me up every single day. So
that's- I love that. Tell us about the grant, because that was a really big deal, right?
Oh, yeah. this is... Yeah, thank you so much for this picture. It's a local grant from a bank from Ehime Prefecture. You know, we started preparing for that like last September, and this January we finally got this presentation. I think around like 60 or 66 companies entered the contest. They actually do it every year. You know, you can enter with your ideas of how you can improve like local communities, creating like a local business and stuff like that. So we entered the contest with the idea of creating residence on Omishima Island, which is like in Ehime Prefecture. So we wanted to create a house for people to come, stay and leave there for maybe a few days or even a few weeks, and to connect with, you know, local people, to try different like local traditional arts, you know, and stuff like that. It's really close to the sea, so the whole like nature is really healing, I would say. And we have really big local communities. It's not just guides, it's just local people that would love to introduce their favorite places to a foreign audience. So we wanted to create something that would nourish the souls of people like coming to Omishima, because that's a historically really important place on Shimonami Kaido, which probably we'll talk a bit later. So a lot of people actually come there by bicycles, but they don't stay. They just like go to a different place, or they return to Hiroshima Prefecture, which is, you know, I love it. But, you know, if we can help local communities in any way, we decided that the next step is actually creating a place to stay. So it won't be a guest house, but more like residence, I would say.
So when you say residence, do you mean like an artist residence or just a long term, like a longer stay kind of experience?
So, when you say like residence, you kind of have this image of artists coming to, you know, the place to create and to leave some, you know, a painting or a sculpture or something in the area. But for us, it will be a small stay where guests can spend more time with the island and connect with local life, nature, history, food culture. So you'll get like a house to yourself. You'll get, you know, a few bicycles, and you'll get the help from navigator. We would love to have a few people that, you know, can help you to, you know, find your ways around, to show you some local shrines, to introduce you to local people, maybe to have dinner with them, and to have a few activities like going to see a local glass artisan art artist, or visit a citrus farm, do pottery, you know, just cycle around, and also know this story of Oyamazumi Shrine, which is one of the most important shrines in the Seta Inland Sea. So before modern bridges and highways were created back in the, I believe it was 90s. So before that, the islands were just connected, you know, by the sea. So there were no bridges or anything. And Oyamazumi Shrine was the place where, you know, people would come and pray for the safety. You know, they would like come there to know the current routes. And it's also home to Murakami Kaizuku, which is often like translated as pirates from Japanese. They were actually really powerful like clans who controlled and protected the important sea routes in the Seta Inland Sea. So that shrine is a kind of like a compass in the sea. So I believe that Omishima is really like powerful in a lot of ways. So how people come there, like, you know, refresh themselves, get like new ideas, and then will, you know, return, for example, to their countries and create something new. Or maybe they will, you know, create a local business in Ehime Prefecture or like Hiroshima Prefecture on like Omishima. You know, I think there are like a lot of possibilities.
That's wonderful. I just not long ago went to Omishima and visited Danny and Evan of Benton Homestead, who are on the island. And we went to a wonderful vegan place in an old house a guy had renovated and made a little cafe and like a secondhand shop. And yeah. You can see people cycling around. And then, of course, you have Waka as well, a cycling-friendly guest house. And they have a lot of cycle support there.
Right.
But there's still so many areas of Omishima that really they have abandoned houses. It's not developed. It's similar to so many rural areas in Japan, right?
Right. So my dream is actually of developing a new route. I would call it like a blue loop. Because it would be like a route around Seto Island area. You know, like a lot of travelers, they come to Japan for Golden Route, which is, you know, this route from Tokyo via Kyoto, Osaka, Hiroshima, you know, all the route connected by Shinkansen. By Blue Loop would be like a connection between different communities around, you know, Shikoku or also, you know, Setouchi area. And Hiroshima is, you know, like a part of Setouchi area too. So that would be like really lovely to have this new route for more slow travelers and people who would love to connect to, you know, local communities, local people, artisans, and so on.
100%. And when I work with visitors, and most visitors are still only coming on day trips from Osaka or from Kyoto. But when they come to the Hiroshima area and we just see the central city area and we see Miyajima and then they go back. But usually before they go back, they're saying, oh, you know, I didn't realize Hiroshima was so beautiful. Right. Yeah. And if we come back, what can we see? You know, so I think we're seeing a lot more interest in getting away from the crowds, getting away from the typical most popular places, because there's so much more, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I just think that they're not, or they're too much information, to be honest. It's not that there are not enough information. I think people are like drowning in the information and, you know, it's like hidden, go to this hidden place, go to that hidden place. But I think that we sometimes need to slow down and we need this kind of like thoughtful route. So if you have this kind of like route, you can travel, you know, in a more sufficient way. I understand why people stay in Osaka because it's really easy. You have like a lot of hotels, you have great food, and you know, it's really easy to travel because it's connected by buses, trains, and so on. But if you, you know, have this courage in yourself to step outside and travel to, you know, this regional Japan, I think you would love it even more because people there, they really warm and they want people to come, but they're kind of like afraid or the lack of, I don't know, just self-belief, I would say, because sometimes they say like, we have nothing in here. So when people come, what would they see? But, you know, when you go there and you see all these beautiful places, you see these communities, all this art that they're doing for centuries, you see, like, of course you have a lot of things, you just don't know how to show it. So that's what we do with Inner Japan. So we try to, you know, connect foreign audience and local communities through storytelling.
It's wonderful. And I noticed that, like we have in Hiroshima, you have to offer day trips because a lot of people just don't know. But once they do the day trip, then they're like, oh, I want to come back. I want to stay at least one night, maybe two nights, you know? So that you have a lot of activities like Awaji Island, which you can go to from Kyoto or from Osaka or from Hyogo, like Kobe, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. So Awaji Island is, I would say, like, new project we develop with locals on Awaji Island. We started these tours last August, so it's been almost a year. So basically, we can't do tours because we're not an authorized tour company, but we can definitely, you know, collaborate with local tour companies and local guides. So we work as producers, I would say. So we pick the different experiences, we think of the stories, how to connect experiences between each other, so it won't be like, you know, go from point A to point B to point C, you know. We need to feel the story behind all these places and people. And we work with a local Japanese people who's been on the island for decades. So it must be not a native to the island, but they, like, came from, like, Hyogo Prefecture or from, like, Osaka and some from Hiroshima to the island. And they felt that the island was, like, kind of, like, calling for them. So we have, like, artisans. So this is the couple behind this beautiful ceramic brand on Awaji Island, and we're doing different experiences with them. We'll have, Aizomi dyeing experience, indigo dyeing with a couple from Osaka. So they moved there like 10 years ago, and one of their friends, they sent to them eye plant seeds, and they, you know, tried it and they fell in love with that. So they went to Tokushima, where, like, Aizomi was born, and they, you know, learned how to do that. So now they have this organic farm that where they not just dye the material, but they also grow eye plant. So it's like the whole circle operation farm. So they have so many beautiful places. And right now we have probably from 5 to 20 people, like, from, no, for 5, I think, like, from 10 to 20, like, 30 people every month coming for, you know, this tours. I know, like, the scale is not really big, but we're not trying to, you know, make the island overcrowded, because it actually is in some areas. If you see, like, a lot of Japanese people are coming there for the weekends, you know, to stay at some inn, to have a barbecue, to have, you know, to swim in the sea and stuff like that. So we care about people on the island. We care about the art and artisans, and we care about, this production that's been on the island for centuries. So they have fragrance, for example, making and stuff like that. So we want people to experience that in a really intimate atmosphere. So we don't care about, like, if, you know, we won't earn a lot of money, but we care that people would actually spend their money inside the local communities. So yeah, and now we also have a new tours in Nikko, and not just Nikko, but also in other, like, 4 different cities and towns around Tochigi Prefecture. So we try to kind of, like, get, you know, a famous name. For example, Nikko is really popular, and people from overseas actually know about the place. So, but we don't want people to be based just in Nikko. You can go there for, like, half a day, but you can also experience, like, ghetto making with the local artisans, and after that go to, like, Utsunomiya to the bamboo farm and stuff like that. So we kind of, like, try to get people from popular places to, you know, less crowded and more intimate, so they can actually be inside the community, I would say.
Yeah, wonderful. I just got back from rural Fukuoka, beautiful Ryokan Ohana, which also won the Japan Travel Awards this year for the grand prize from last year. And we did a morning breakfast on the boat, similar, the punting, right? So no engine, very quiet, and they sing to you, and it's just so charming.
Wow.
And there's a lot of similarities, it sounds like, in Tochigi, right? Yeah.
Right, in Tochigi City. So you have here like a boatman, and they have their own songs that they've been, you know, singing for centuries. And that was a really important route, you know, connected with Edo, that was, you know, now you call it Tokyo. But, you know, before the routes was, you know, connected, before the trains, the only routes were river and the sea. So Tochigi City has this beautiful long river connected to Tokyo. And it was a really important getaway to sell, you know, woods and crafts and stuff, and rice, of course. So you see like a lot of architecture, traditional architecture, beautifully like preserved Japanese houses. But not that many people, you know about that. So we're kind of like trying to promote that area so you can experience the beauty of old Japan, not in the crowds, not, you know, connected, you know, in the crowded spaces, but on your own, you know, pace, and with local guys who care about the communities, and that actually, so they live in the area, so, and know a lot of people around, and they care, and not just they go there for a day and next they're gone. So they are really protective of the place that they were born or they've been living for a long time. So this is the difference, I guess.
And then it sounds like you're also connecting visitors with people who maybe they didn't grow up there, but they came from another city and they're so passionate about living there. And I think in that way, they can see things with fresh eyes and then pass on that passion to the visitors that they're showing around or introducing, right?
Definitely, because I think that if you live in the same area for all your life, it's really hard to compare it to anything else. I think that's when you need an outsider, kind of like outsider, that you need a second opinion or third opinion, so you would understand how beautiful the place around you, how beautiful the place you were born into.
Absolutely. We were talking about that before we started, right? Like, I grew up in Hawaii, and when I took university students back to Hawaii with me 1 year when they were studying there, and then they were teaching me things that I never knew because I just grew up there. And so sometimes having people come in with fresh eyes and so excited to explore, you can teach locals things about what is appealing that they see every day, so they just take it for granted, right?
Right. It's like looking at yourself every single day. You know, it's really hard to notice, you know, great things about yourself. And that's the same thing I think a lot of locals actually don't understand about the place that they've been, you know, living for their whole life. So when I, you know, come there and they see like my eyes and, you know, and I'm just like looking at her, so like, oh my God, this place is so beautiful. You have so many stories, you have so many, you know, traditional arts, the buildings, the architecture. And it's like, oh, I've never seen it before. And after, you know, looking at your videos, at your pictures, now I understand how beautiful my hometown is. So thank you for this. And this is the most rewarding part of my job, I would say.
That's wonderful. And it is so rewarding, right? Like when you can introduce, even in busy places, when we can introduce the back streets and the older family-run shops that maybe they wouldn't find because it's not in the typical tourist area, right?
Yes.
That adds so much value to the visitor, but you're also adding so much value to the local shopkeepers and the local community and the economy. And, you know, there's so many ways that you can do more sustainable travel when you have the understanding of the area, right?
Definitely. I think you kind of need that bridge between locals and, you know, travelers, because we'll still like traveling around Japan, it would be like nice to have, you know, the language of the knowledge of the language. Because not that many locals can actually speak, you know, English, or they want to speak, but they, you know, can't share like in the full scale. So, and that's why you need these locals and like local guides that can like connect travelers to, you know, much broader audience. Mm. So we're trying to be that, like, you know, to fill that gap, to be that.
Yeah, no, it's so necessary and so wonderful. Looks like you have another tour plan in Sano.
Yes, in Sano. So this is part of our Big Tochigi tours with Yoko-san. Yoko-san is a local guide. She was born in Sano, so she knows Sano. But she spent like last 30 years abroad, living in America, and then she decided to move back to Japan, and now she lives in Sano, and, you know, try to connect locals and local places with international guests. So she's a really good, great guide, a lovely friend. Can recommend her now. And we created this special tour with her.
That's fantastic. And then you have this Ashikaga tour.
Ashikaga, yes, Ashikaga tours also. You can mix actually different places. So you can, for example, go to Nikko if you've never been there but really want to go, you know, to see the famous shrines, the pine trees and everything. And the next day, travel to Ashikaga or Sano. So Ashikaga is really famous because one of the oldest schools in Japan were like formed. You can see it on the upper right picture, was actually, you know, built, formed there. They have their own artisan doing aizome. They have a local Koko winery. They have really lovely wine there. And of course, the famous Ashikaga Flower Park with different illuminations and different events for the year. So a lot of things to see. But again, you can.
How is it getting around? Like a lot of the rural areas, they have bicycles or it's good for hiking. How about these areas? Is it easy enough to get around?
So all our tours is you kind of have to come to the area. So, but we give you you know, information about the buses, including, you know, time where you have to hop on the bus. You know, the price and everything. In case of Tochigi Prefecture, you have trains coming from Tokyo every like half an hour, I guess. So you have to come to Tochigi City, and after that, like, Yoko-san would pick you up. She will rent a car and she will, like, you know, show you around. So you don't need to think about the logistic of your travel. You just need to get from Tokyo to Tochigi or from Osaka Kobe to Awaji Island. But we will help you, you know, to do that. So it's not that hard if you get all the instructions.
Yeah, having a local guide really helps in that way, because I think a lot of visitors still find like buses quite challenging, you know, like how do I know what price to pay or how do I know when to get off, right? Yeah. And sometimes maybe in the rural area, your connection is not great. And so GPS not really working, right? Like, so having a local guide just takes all the fear away and you can explore together with like a local and get to know her and everything. That's a wonderful way to do it.
Yeah. So there's no stress in that. So you can just, you know, be there and don't think about the logistic. I think this is a really beautiful part of having a local guide.
Absolutely. Now you have another page with other guides that you work with.
Yeah, to have Shige-san, Otok Shige-san, Emi-san. They are locals from Awaji Island, and they they weren't born on the island, so they moved there, I think, around like 10-15 years ago. So now they are part of the community. And the reason why we have different guides is because they all have their strength. So some of them really good with shokubunka, which is, you know, a food culture, and some other really good with artisans, so they can show you the best practices on the islands, the fishermen ports, you know, stuff like that. So they all have their own connections. So that's the reason why we ask people to fill out the form. So it's not just like, oh, let's book it and then like pay for that and go. It's not. The guides would listen to your needs. They will listen to what you want to experience on the island, and they will kind of like try to automate the itinerary for you, and then they will, you know, pick the right guide for you. So it's like really, it's not an easy process, I would say. It takes time, definitely.
Yeah, but customizing and doing small groups, mm-hmm. Is definitely a way a lot of visitors who come here, and we do small group tours, mm-hmm. in Hiroshima area as well. And you do see a lot of big group tours, right? With the guides with the flags.
Yeah.
But what you're doing, because you're only working with small groups, you're able to personalize and customize. You don't stop at the same place and say the mm-hmm. same stories. You're talking with them the whole time. You're sharing ideas that you learn from them.
Yes.
Listening to them. And what are you interested in? Okay, I can show you this, right?
I think there's also a right environment to ask questions, because sometimes when you go in big groups, you know, you kind of feel like shy about, you know, asking things that you want to ask. But if you go in this intimate small group, when it's just you or your family or your, you know, close ones, you have this world, the whole world to yourself. You have, you know, this guide to yourself, so you can ask not just question about the how this art was born and, you know, the history of the place. You can also ask some questions. Okay, how about life here, like as a local? Where do you go to the supermarket? Or, you know, all these things that you now wonder about locals in Japan. Because I think that many foreigners that actually come to Japan, they don't interact with locals at all, because the only place you can interact is like in convenience store, like in 7-Eleven when you buy something, or at the shop or the hotel. So that's not enough. And having this personal guide will have you, you know, you can ask any questions and you can get like the answers you want to hear, like the local stories. And I think it's really beautiful that you have the connection. Sometimes like our guides from Awaji Island would actually, you know, bring the kids if they know that the family, the coming, have the kids their own age, so they will play together. And I think this is something that you won't get anywhere else. You know, they have parties, or sometimes they you know, connect with like WhatsApp or other like apps, so they become friends. You know, having a friend in Japan, I think, is a really wonderful feeling.
That's wonderful. And I similarly hear that a lot from travelers who've been in Japan for 2 weeks and they feel a bit lonely or disconnected, mm-hmm. right? Because they haven't had a chance to talk with real people living here, right? Why did you choose to live here is the common question. But also as the guide, you have the chance to introduce them to shopkeepers and other local people, and you can act as a bridge with translating, but also just introducing them to really welcoming, friendly locals. And right. then they feel like they're living here a little bit, you know, like they feel like locals. And it's much a more enjoyable experience, right?
Right. This is my ultimate goal, to feel people that they are locals, even for a short period of time. Because, when I first came to Japan as a tourist in, when was it, 2014, I think, I was still like 19, and it was like everything was like really fresh. But I think I felt like really lonely, because I felt like I'm in the bubble. I really wanted to communicate, but I didn't have like my voice, because, you know, the only way to communicate to me was, you know, using English, but people wouldn't understand it, or it wouldn't be enough. So there was like this kind of barrier between me and local people. So we tried to, you know, focus on the
barrier and kind of like try to crush it.
And you have so, and as well as it has you introduced on Instagram or through Inner Japan website, you have so many wonderful insights, not only about the artisan culture and how you can do crafts with people, but that also connects to visiting local shops. Just even if you're not doing the experience, even being able to introduce the stories when you go to the shop and meet the artisans at the shop or the shopkeepers who know a lot. And then you've got wonderful like scenic views because you've covered it as an influencer, right? Like, you know which places are good for taking photos and capturing your trip, which is another big part of it, right?
Right. So this period of my life, I'm kind of trying to stay away as an influencer. So I'm trying to like not to influence people, but try to work more on the ground, like with, you know, people. But I think Instagram is really great tool to introduce these places to wider audience. And when I do so, I try not to only show the beautiful places, but I also try to mention the local shops, the local workshops, you know, places where you can, you know, spend your money and actually help the local communities. Because I think a lot of people that come to Japan and spend their money, they, you know, I think it's a really great thing to do, but not 100% of this money actually goes to the community, to the local communities. So we try to show only the places that would, you know, help the locals, and the money would stay with the locals, so they will continue that art for another like 100 years into the future. So that's our goal, I would say.
It's so important. And I think even if people aren't sure whether they want to book your tours right away, you offer so much wonderful free advice as a guide on the website too, right? Are you selling like itineraries as part of the business, or for now it's just free advice kind of introduction?
So this is a really tricky question because I think we're not authorized to do the itineraries for people because we're not a tour company. But I can definitely, you know, put it around like itineraries for free. So I also have an option when you can, you know, put your email in, and then we'll send you new articles that are coming like every few weeks, and you can get it to your email. You know, it's like a subscription. It's also free of charge. So everything you see on our site is free of charge, I do so because I understand that not, you know, 100% of my followers can afford, you know, going on tours, because they might want to do so, but they're not enough, you know, money or time or some other like, you know, issues. So I kind of try to give the freedom of them to be able to travel around Japan by themselves. And that's the reason why I spend so much time creating on articles. So for now, it's only two of us. So I am doing all the photography, storytelling, you know, articles, videos, and so on. And Sachi, she works as a local producer. So she works with local governments, do pitches, and, you know, create this established, you know, connections. So we try to grow the team this year. So if any of you guys want to to be part of Inner Japan or try to like help us write articles and local stories, welcome to DM me or email me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, you just started, but you have so much experience already and so many wonderful connections already. So it's like you can start running, right? Like, you don't have to start from nothing. Like, you've already got this wealth of experience. It's wonderful.
I think, working in several Japanese companies, because I used to work in the hotel business and also in the media. I think that background really helps me to grow the company and communicate with local businesses in Japan. It's kind of have to understand this corporate culture in Japan, I would say. Well, and you've
done some publishing, like you showed me the zine.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
This is still a really small zine. It's about rural Japan, Ehime Prefecture, and the places is called Uchiko, Ozu, and Nia. So my friend, his name is Dangami-san, and he is a Japanese modern artist and also a 14th generation descendant of the Kato family, and Kato family used to own Ozu castle, so his family used to own the castle. And so he is working on renovating this old house, like a samurai residence, 180 years old residence in rural Ehime. And I went there more than 10 times, I would say, and I tried to capture the beauty of the places around, and I put the stories of his family and some tales about the place, and also introduced a few places you can go around. There's a wax production, Warosuku. It's a Japanese candle manufacturer, and there's also a paper making place. So this year we're trying to publish a new zine. So it won't be like a new zine, but it will be like a bilingual version of the same material, but we will also put new pictures and some new design, and hopefully we'll introduce this the next year Tokyo Art Book Fair. So for now, unfortunately, you can't buy this one because we only had 100 copies. Right now we're sold out. But I think starting from the end of July, maybe beginning of August this year, we'll start to sell the new copies of the zine. So if you're interested, please let me know.
That's fantastic. And I think Japan is still one of the countries where we still have bookstores. We still have the love of books. As you travel around Japan, you will see people sat on trains reading books. As of course, most people are on the phone, but you will still see people using their and enjoying their time away from the screens, which I think so many people, including myself, trying to do more, right?
Definitely. So publishing a book was a big dream for me. I know it's not just a book, it's a zine, so you have a lot of pictures and that. But I know creating something that you can actually touch, it's so rare these times, because we only connected by internet. We have videos, pictures on the internet. We don't do albums anymore. And, we don't have this radios anymore because, it's huge and it's not really convenient. But for me, this inconvenience is a beauty. So I try to create more stuff like the towels here. And I'm also working with a pearl fabric in Ehime Wajima to create the accessory line, a small accessory line with the Japanese pearls. So we try to do more material stuff this year. I would say so.
That's very exciting. You have a lot going on, I'm sure. It's kind of hard to know where to focus your energy, right? Because definitely, so much of it takes time, right? But at the moment, you're trying to move forward with helping people have more meaningful, slow travel. And then on the way, you can also do a zine and accessory line and keep up your social media, right? You've got, how do you organize it all?
I have ADHD, so it's not organized at all, but I have like a lot of things. And if I have like a lot of things, I kind of like feel happy and I have fulfilled. And I hate when I'm bored. So I try to, you know, my best to keep myself busy. But I also, because I had this history of depression, like a few times I have pretty severe episode, so I know how it's important to take care of your mental health. And so I try to, you know, take care of, you know, my sleep and try to exercise and stuff like that. But, you know, it's hard to do everything because we're just a human. But I think, yeah, just, you know, having this, the Inner Japan as a company is really new feeling. It's like having a baby, I would say, you know. You have to be awake like almost 24 hours, and you have to be in a good shape, and you have to be, you know, energized. And I'm just happy to have these possibilities, I would say. I'm really thankful for all the chances, for all the work and the projects that, you know, governments and people and owners trust us with. So yes, just trying to my best to do everything best I could. I would say so. Yes.
No, that's the way to do it, right? But how not to burn out? And I love following all of your advice for even if you're in Tokyo. You're not far from going to explore these beautiful mm-hmm. areas and go and rent a place in rural Japan and stay for a week. And that's part of your, maybe your personal journey to mental health, to emotional health, right? That really heals you. And so passing on that advice to other people is going to help travelers, but also people living in Japan who can enjoy that, right?
I definitely, yes, I think so. I have a lot of people that are introverts as me, so they have, you know, passion for places that, you know, have a slower pace, I would say. Nature, like old houses, small communities. And I try to show the places I love, but it's also huge responsibilities because sometimes, like, you know, I get a comments like, what if this place would become like overwhelmed, overcrowded, you know? But the thing is, with all those beautiful places, they're kind of like out of the way. So you kind of have to spend your time, energy, and money to go to that places. And I guess this works as a, like a barrier and don't keep, you know, people from, you know, coming there like in a large scale. But yes, I think these small places and weekend getaways definitely keeps me, you know, fresh and organized. And yeah, I love feeling connected to the nature. It's my biggest passion in life, I would say.
It's so healing. And that's, you know, us too, working in tourism, you sometimes have people that you know that you work in tourism and they're like, oh no, don't introduce this place because it's so special right now and so many visitors are going to come. But when you're focused on rural areas or lesser known places to like shops and stuff, it's not going to be a huge boom of tourists. And it's going to really support that area. So I think there's more than enough that we can introduce. And I know that you're really focused on places people have never heard of, which gives you excitement about traveling in Japan, that there's so much more than you can see next time, right?
Definitely. When people say that Japan is overcrowded, it just makes me laugh, to be honest. Because they talk about really popular destinations, and Kyoto was overcrowded even in the 70s and the 80s when Japanese tourists, you know, were all over like Kiyomizu-dera and some other like popular temples. But I want to tell people about these small places that maybe don't have like a lot of attractions, but they have this special atmosphere or stories and connection that I want them to cherish. And so I think this place is kind of, you know, not everyone would come there, you know, there's nothing, not a lot of things to do. So I think only people that appreciate this slower pace would come there. And I think a lot of my followers is actually that kind of travelers, educated travelers. They think of the impact at the local communities.
Yeah. We have a great comment from Jen. Thanks for joining on Facebook. As she says, you're such a diverse talent. Very cool. That is true. But you know what? I am not talented at doing crafts. And when I watch talented people like you who are actually able to do the beautiful incense or pottery or textile, I'm a bit jealous, right? But you can still go and see the artisan at work and get so excited by seeing how it's made. So I think even if you're not personally crafty or skilled, it's still a wonderful experience, right?
Definitely. And I think it also, it helps you to develop a sense of beauty in a way that you can like remember, you know, when you'll be, you know, home in your own country and you'll get something new and excited. And I think in the modern world, we are lacking of this special, what I would say, things that we don't know about. So many information, but you actually don't feel it. And when you go to see the artisan, when you speak to their family or have been, you know, preserving the same craft for like 100 years old, you kind of feel you are touching such a special material that's not just, you know, textile, that has a few generation of history. And I think that makes it wonderful. And to be honest, I'm not really good at craft either. I'm really good at connecting, you know, artisans, local and travelers, but I think in a way it will be nice to try something new yourself, even if you're not really good at it at first. Just like the process or trying the new thing, definitely it's worth you know, your time and your energy and your effort, I would say.
100%. And I visited a bonsai artist the other day at the bonsai studio.
Yeah.
And I think it was Tokushima or Kagawa, somewhere around there. And it's so many beautiful trees, you know, and then one of them is like 350 years old. And he's like, oh, you try. And I was like, no pressure. But he's like, no, I'll help you, you know. So with the guidance and then trying it yourself even a little bit, you do feel that understanding of how hard it is, right? Even if you try a little bit and then you respect the product so much more, right?
Sometimes, so I have like a really good example. There's a carpet, it's called Akodansu, and it's from Hyogo Prefecture. So it's basically a carpet, right? And they sell it for at least 1 million yen per piece, right? And you think of it, okay, 1 million is a great cost, right? I can't afford it. And it's really expensive. So why does it cost like 1 million yen? And then you go there and you see that to craft one carpet, you need a year, at least a year of every single day work. And before that, you need at least 10 years of experience. So if you think of all the, you know, energy and time and passion that people actually got into the process, you understand 1 million is actually not enough, even to cover this person's, you know, working, you know, work time. And it just sometimes, yeah, it's way cheaper to buy some souvenirs from like Asakusa, you know, it's made in a different country, not in Japan, than get something from artisans, because sometimes it costs a lot of money. And, you know, going to that experiences, it also costs a lot of money. But you have to understand that it's not just, you know, to producing this one stuff, it's for keeping the whole art alive and connecting it to the future. And this is why I want to people maybe to travel less, but travel more wisely and spend your money wisely on the experiences that matter. Yes.
That's right. That's so true. And if you choose to stay in a guest house that's a renovated old house, mm-hmm. you are preserving culture, because by hiring renovators of traditional houses, those crafts are being kept alive. Yes. If you do a boat tour and it's a traditional Japanese wooden boat, that's also keeping the tradition and the culture alive mm-hmm. for the future generations. You buy incense made by hand in Japan. You are keeping the traditions alive, right? So yeah. everything that I see you featuring, it has so much deeper value, not just for visitors. Of course, they have a wonderful experience, but you're also really encouraging local protection and preservation of culture and tradition, which is so important, right?
Yes, definitely. I think they need all the help they, you know, they can get. To be honest, sometimes talking to young Japanese people, I see that they are not really, you know, interested in their own culture. Not all of them, but a lot of people, right? So they are not ready to commit and buy all these things from artisans because it's like expensive, or it doesn't look really up to date or like modern. But I see that the foreigners coming from other country, they respect these traditions, and they're really interested in actually buying things. So this is why I think it's so important to do more PR projects of the places still like not really known to the wider audience, so they will come to the experiences, to the craftsmen, and you know, buy the products, and also give that attention to the artisans so they will understand how they loved, how they appreciate it, because sometimes you need a reminder that you're doing a great job. And from someone, you know, outside of your world, outside of your bubble, to see like, oh, you're doing great, you're doing a fantastic job, and I'm so in love with what you're doing. And sometimes we need, you know, say these things to the artisans. They are so happy, you know, you see how, you know, their face changes and they feel so appreciated, and you just need to give them a reminder of that sometimes.
That's 100% true. And something that we often forget is they need our enthusiasm to feel encouraged to keep going, because it's hard, right?
Yeah.
Being a craftsperson and artisan. And unfortunately, all over Japan, so much of the traditions and culture is being lost all the time, right? And so by traveling to rural areas, by showing enthusiasm, by buying it if you can, by doing experiences, this is all part of a rich, better future for Japan. And it's definitely something that visitors want. So it's very sustainable travel. Good for locals, good for visitors.
Right. Win-win. Double win.
Yes. Double win. Yeah. So we just have a couple minutes left. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you're working on, you want to discuss, or anything you'd like to encourage people to look at your website? Or you got a tour coming. You just finished a tour in April.
So we are actually doing tours all year round. So the tour of April was a special tour where I actually went as a guide myself, because I usually don't do guides. I only create tours and I produce tours. So that was a special tour for my followers and when I actually go with them. And so Kashiwara Osaka is the only workshop that I actually present myself as a host, because Okada-san really needs the help and being a translator. And also, well, I live in Kashiwara, it's really easy for me to show people how beautiful the area around. So we have the mountains, we have the oldest winery in the Western Japan, and people don't know about that, right? And I had this dream of opening a small place in Kashiwara with a small shop, a small coffee house, and also maybe 1-2 rooms where people can stay and do like local experiences. So I have a lot of ideas, and yeah, I just wish I had like more time and money.
That's amazing, because Osaka is on the route for many people. So booking a tour where you get a deeper sense of Japan, even in Osaka or even just outside Osaka, that's really valuable. So, and I think, you know, people want to meet you and see you at work as well. Okay. You have such a great following. But then even in the other areas, the tours that you're introducing with other local guides around Tochigi and Ehime, you're developing so many wonderful experiences and travel for people through Inner Japan. So they should definitely check out the website.
Thank you for that. Yes.
Right? All right. I saw you're also on YouTube. You're branching out. Instagram's still your main though, right?
I'm trying to do like YouTube, but I'm not really good at it. Yes. So my main platform is Instagram. Suga Lenin is my nick there. But also trying to do a documentary series on YouTube, but that's not coming really soon. And of course, there's a site with free articles and free itineraries and also tours that we're producing. And we actually creating a new tour in Hiroshima in next few months. So hope we can work with you, JJ, together in some projects around Hiroshima too.
That'd be awesome. I look forward to meeting you again in person and and doing projects with you. We did one project in Saijo, right, the sake town, many years ago. And I look forward to coming and seeing you in Omishima, which I love, Omishima Island. Mm-hmm. And it's not so far from Hiroshima.
Right.
And then I saw you had a cameo, a little quick pop into Maigo Mika's video in Kochi. So yeah, maybe you're developing something in Kochi sometime too. Hopefully, huh?
Yeah. So I'm a really good friend. So Mika is a really good friend of mine, and we are trying to do like a new collaboration on Awaji Island this year. So if you're following her, you'll probably see me in one of her videos this summer, probably August, I would say.
Oh, fantastic. I saw that you visited their renovated house.
Yes, yes.
Really wonderful. Yeah.
Pancakes. Yeah. Her dog's name is Pancake. So, yeah, it was just a holidays for me. I went for a week and we just, you know, swim in the river, went on a couple like local experiences and stuff like that. But yes, I love Mika, and oh, she's doing a really great job of showing this rural area of Kochi Prefecture and traditional life there.
And so many of your interests are aligned, right? Definitely. About slow life, slow travel, rural Japan. So you have so many kindred spirits around Japan to collaborate with on these wonderful projects.
Definitely, yes. I'm really excited about that.
That's great. So that's our hour. Thank you so much for joining. Everybody, definitely check out Inner Japan, inner-japan.com. You can see all the free guides. You can also find out about the tours they're developing with other local guides around rural areas. And definitely follow Suga Lenin on Instagram for all the beautiful reels from your travels around 47 prefectures. I can't believe you still go all around all of the prefectures. It's amazing.
Yeah. Your
energy. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you, JJ, so much. It was a really pleasure talking to you this morning. And I hope we can talk again on new projects and develop something new in Hiroshima Prefecture and other parts of Japan as well.
Again, absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, pleasure. Always wonderful talking to you.